Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Amen. Amen. All blessings flow from God. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from above. Amen. From the Father of lights. It says there is no shadow or shifting in him. There is no such thing as darkness in God. Amen. When darkness is showing up in your life, can I just tell you that it ain't God? Amen. 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 Y'all been kind of quiet today, so I'm gonna make you talk back. Okay. All right. Cause you know, when we come together, one thing that we benefit from is making noise. Amen. 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 When you getting ready to go to battle, right? Unless the Lord done told you to be quiet while walking around the wall, you better make some noise. Amen. You better let your enemy know if he gonna show up, right? He in for something. Cause what he getting ready to face right now, he might not be ready for. Amen. Did you know this? This is true. Did you know this? That snakes are actually scared of noise? Did you know that? Did you know that if you're walking through the forest, that it's good for you when you step on those leaves, because when they hear that noise being made, they get, uh-oh. But if you make the mistake of sneaking up on them, trying to be quiet, and all of a sudden they see you, they turn around and do what's natural to them. They strike you. Amen. And so all I'm saying is make some noise. That's all I'm saying. Make some noise. Make some noise. Praise goes up, and it is to your benefit because God hears your praise. But do you know who else hears your praise? All of the world that you cannot see hears your praise. The angels that you cannot see hear your praise. The demons that you cannot see hear your praise. And so when you open up your mouth, that's why, see, sometimes you just can't think about it. You got to talk about it. And man, you got to go ahead and open up your mouth. Don't just think in your heart that God is good. You got to go ahead and open your mouth and say, God is good. Amen. Sometimes don't just think in your heart when something good happened. Don't just say, thank you, Jesus, in your mind and in your heart. Sometimes you got to open up your mouth and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Sometimes when you've been startled by something, don't just think in your mind, oh, Lord, have mercy. You got to go ahead and open up your mouth and say, oh, Lord, have mercy. Amen. Sometimes when you proclaim the name of Jesus out loud, something that may have been lurking around you would have heard you. And what happens at the name of Jesus? Everything has to bow. Amen. Amen. Y'all doing all right today? I am blessed of the Lord and highly favored, chosen by God and empowered by his Spirit to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that I can experience healing, wholeness, and growth in Jesus. Amen. 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 Can I just tell you that that proclamation that I just made, that the enemy of your soul does not want it to come true. It is Jesus who comes that we might have life and have it more abundantly, but the enemy of your soul seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. Healing? He don't want you to have healing. He don't want you to experience growth and wholeness. He don't want you to be whole in your being. And so his job is to interrupt and disturb everything that ties you back to God and that you walk in faith in. He's like, oh no, let me interfere with what's going on in your life. Amen. So today, because of a series of things that have been happening, we're going to actually take a look at a text that talks about you and me and the weapons in which we fight with. Amen. You have your Bibles. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It's a familiar passage of scripture to some. I'm going to read it to our hearing. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Greetings to some old friends. Good to see you, Brother Arthur Bramlett. Amen. Good to see you, Minister David Haynes. Amen. Amen. Good to have you guys worshiping with us today in our fellowship. Glad to have you with us. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want to begin reading at verse number 3. Is that me? Amen. Oh, we have a designated reader this morning. Amen. 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 Hey, can I get you to do me a favor today? And if you're able to, can you just stand for the reading of God's word? Amen. Amen. This is going to be the first place that we go, but there are going to be other places that we move to as we look at this particular text and lesson on today. Corinthians, as you know, was written by the Apostle Paul. And even if you go back to the very top of this chapter, he identifies himself kind of as the writer, as he is explaining kind of what he is talking about in this particular chapter. So we're really interrupting his thought at verse number 3. We're kind of entering in at verse number 3, because that is the area in which we want to focus on. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 3 says this: "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Amen. Amen. I think I heard somebody with a King James version. Somebody got a King James version for me? Who got that? Was that over here? Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm gonna need you to read that for me, verses three through five. Sister Charzetta, you got the message today? Can you find that for me? Amen. Amen. Are you ready? This is those same set of verses in the King James Version. Will you go ahead and read those for us?
"For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, mm-hmm. to the pulling down of strongholds."
Yeah.
"Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, mm-hmm. and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ."
Amen. Amen. That's good. I got one more. Stay with me. First one was the NIV. That was the King James Version. This one is from, did you find it yet? The Message, 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Now, you know, in the Message, it kind of gets pulled together, so that's okay. Read the section. We'll go with the section. That's fine. Nice and loud, like you mean it.
"The world is unprincipled. It's dog-eat-dog out there. The world doesn't fight fair, but we don't live or fight our battles that way.
Mm-hmm.
Never have and never will.
Yeah, yeah.
The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture.
Mm.
We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies,
mm-hmm.
tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of the life shaped by Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstructive and building lives of obedience into maturity."
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So, as we think about that scripture in the NIV, the King James, and the Message, Today I want you thinking about this, fighting with the right weapons. Fighting with the right weapons. Amen. Father, we thank you today that God, you have equipped us to be able to stand in the midst of every attack that might come against us. That Lord, you have not put us in a place and left us unprotected, defenseless, but you've given us divine weapons and tools that can be used to defeat the enemy so that we can progress toward victory. We thank you for Jesus Christ, the one who leads us in triumphant procession, because he has promised that we will indeed get to the other side. We thank you today in Jesus' name. The people of God said, amen, amen. You may be seated. During the praise time this morning, Sister Manita read to you from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And it was about a battle that was taking place between the people of God and their enemies. Their enemies had come and had said some very harsh words against the people of God. But when they came, they also brought a vast army. Vast meaning this, that compared to Israel's army, the army that was coming against them was much, 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 much bigger. Such that when Israel looked at the army that they were getting ready to go against, they knew that they were outnumbered. They knew that if they did not have divine help, that defeat was going to be the outcome. One of the responses that came from that was a response of fear, because the people looked at the army and knew that there is no way that our little bitty army can overtake that massive army that is about to attack us. And so some of the people were overcome with fear. You know what happens with fear. With fear, you know, your heart rate increases. With fear, you know, fear allows stress to come into your life. Fear, if it goes on too long, you know what? You won't be able to sleep at night, right? When you got too much fear, you'll lay down and you want to sleep. Your body is telling you that you need to sleep, but your mind keeps conjuring up these ideas of what might happen if the issue that you are facing is not resolved. And as a result of that, it interrupts your sleep. Well, you know what happens when you don't sleep, right? If you're not resting, your body says you were designed for rest. God didn't make you so that you are an eternal being right now. You need to go to sleep. I don't care how many times you've been able to stay up all night and do an all-nighter. You better watch out, because if you do it too many times, your body will remind you of who you are. And so fear allows stress to come in. Stress allows your sleep to be interrupted, your rest to be interrupted. And then all of a sudden, this attack against you begins to overtake you. So one response was fear. They were afraid of what was going to happen to them because this vast army had come against them. Now, it's important that you know this army that had come against them had been victorious over other folks. And when they were talking noise, they had the record to back up the noise that they were talking. They were like, we didn't defeat this country. We didn't defeat this country. You next. And if they couldn't stop us and the gods that they worship couldn't stop us, what makes you think you're going to be able to stop us? And the God that you worship going to be able to stop. So they had the track record to back up their threats. And so it made sense that if you're looking at the army with your natural eyes, that you know what? You would indeed, the people would indeed become afraid. That's a fair response. But there was also another response. And this response came from King Jehoshaphat, who heard the report and who acknowledged that they were outnumbered. He acknowledged that the army that was coming against them was way bigger than the one that he had that he would be leading. And so in his acknowledgement, his thing was, we need to cry out unto God. And so in his response, he brought his fear and he made his fear bow down to his God. Amen. This is as good as it's going to be, y'all. Amen. Amen. Wait a minute. Remember what fear did to the to one group of people, right? Fear kept that group up, worrying about what they were going to do. And can I just say to you, if you're going to be up worried about something, can I just encourage you to do this? Use your uptime and make it productive. If your eyes are going to be open, don't be talking about what if this and what if that. Don't go through the what ifs. If your eyes are going to be open, do what Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6 says. Remember it? It says, do not worry. Do not be anxious about anything. What's the next part? But by prayer and supplication, prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And then here's what he says will happen. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, because what my what ifs are doing, my what ifs are talking about my understanding, but God's peace moves me out of the realm of my understanding, because his peace transcends all understanding. And so it moves me to that place where I'm no longer stuck in this plane or where I'm playing things out in my own mind. But now, because I've made my fear bow down to my God, God has taken now my fear and put it in its proper place. Jehoshaphat didn't deny what his eyes saw. Amen. So he wasn't saying, oh, that ain't real. He wasn't saying, oh, they ain't gonna win. No. He acknowledged what was before him. And so you and I, when we see something with our eyes, it makes sense to acknowledge it, right? If you don't acknowledge it, we've got a word for that. You can call it denial. In denial. You can also, I didn't even say that word. You got some psychosis? Is that what you said? You got something going on, right? But when you look at something, and instead of you calling it for what it is, you call it for something else. Something wrong somewhere, isn't it? Amen. So when you look at it and God allows you to see it, recognize it and call it for what it is, so that when you recognize it and call it for what it is, now you're prepared to do battle. Amen. You're prepared to do battle. And the reason that you and I have to know this is because right now we are in a struggle. Can I tell you why you're in a struggle? Because right now you are so close to a breakthrough. Woo! And the enemy don't want you to have it. And when you're right there, he keeps messing with you. He keeps poking and prodding. And if he pokes and prods long enough, he's under the impression that you will give up, and that you will bow down, and that you will cower away. But here's the thing that you and I know, that we do not shrink back. We do not give up, because we are going for the victory. And if I quit too soon, I won't get it. And because you're so close to a breakthrough, the enemy is saying, no, I can't let them experience this, because if they experience this, they gonna know that God loves them. They gonna know that God sees them. They gonna know that God has a storehouse for them, and they gonna be wanting more stuff because they greedy. He's like, let me just keep them pushed up against the wall so that they can't receive what God wants them to have. And my desire for you is that we receive all that God wants us to have. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Amen. We walk by what God has declared, not just by what our eyes see. And so when the enemy is pushing up against you, you've got to fight back. What you got to make sure you do is you fight back with the right weapons, with the right tools, with the divine tools and weapons that God has given you that promises victory. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. In case you haven't committed these to memory, you need to do so. It is again where the Apostle Paul says that stand after you have done all that you can do. Stand. He's talking about when the enemy is coming up against you, stand. Whatever you do, don't retreat. Don't give up ground. Stand. God has brought me this far. I'm going to stand. I don't care how many punches you put on me. I'm going to stand. You've seen those little balloons, those little inflatable balloons that your kids used to play with. Some of them when they were small, you know, they blow them up and they were those action figures or whatever. And some of them are clowns or whatever, villains. And what they would do, you would punch them, boom. And it'd go all the way down and bounce back up, right? It's like no matter how hard you hit that thing, it'll bounce back up, right? And that's the way you got to be. You've got to be like one of those inflatables that no matter how hard the enemy hits you, you make, and I bounce back up. Amen. That's how you and I have to be. We've got to stand. That's the stand. That's what the stand looks like. It's like you can come and bring it all. You can throw everything at me, including the kitchen sink. But don't you know if you had thrown the kitchen sink at that inflatable, all would have happened was the kitchen sink would have hit the inflatable. And if it didn't lay on it, the inflatable would have bounced back up. Amen. So you and I have to stand. We've got to be able to recognize strategies and schemes of the devil. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 6, the word of God says that he has given us the ability to know when the devil and how the devil is operating. He's given us the ability to recognize the schemes of the devil so that when we recognize them, we don't confuse them with the hand of God, but we respond the right way. That's why when I started off, I said, be sure of this, that there is no darkness in God. That every good and perfect gift comes from God, and there is no shadow or shifting in him. He is the God of light. And so if you're dealing with something and it has darkness shrouded around him, I'm just trying to tell you that ain't God. And what you need to know is that every little good thing you get that you think is good, if it's got some darkness associated with it, you need to check who sent it. Amen? Because the enemy of your soul masquerades as an angel of light trying to deceive you so that you will receive something that you ain't got no business receiving. Amen? I play dominoes when I get a chance. I'm not good. I just like to play dominoes when I get a chance. And I used to, when I learned to play dominoes, I learned how to play with old heads. Old heads like to talk noise when they play dominoes, right? They be beating you, spanking you, and they be talking noise, right? You getting ready to play one thing, and they kind of like, you don't want to play that. You don't want to play that. You don't want to play that. They be saying like, all money ain't good money. Trying to warn you that you may have a few points that you getting ready to count. But I'm just warning you that if you take them points, the outcome might not be what you thought it was going to be. All money ain't good money. And what you and I have got to learn how to recognize is that everything that we receive ain't always from the Lord. Amen? Amen? Can I just say it this way? All money ain't good money. Amen? Amen. Some money you need to just go ahead and let that stay right there, because you know if you get associated with that money, you getting associated with whatever the mess was that got that money. Amen. You just need to go ahead and leave that and say the Lord will provide. Now don't use that to say, oh, ain't God good? The Lord provided. No. Learn how to distinguish the hand of God from the hand of the enemy. Amen. Some stuff you got to leave to the side, because what you want to do is make sure that you're walking in a manner that gives honor to God. You're walking in a manner that you operate in integrity. You're walking in a manner to where the angels of God will be glad to fight on your behalf. That they won't be looking at you shaking your head and say, did nobody tell you to do that? Right? Amen. So you want to walk in his will. And one of the things we've got to learn how to do is distinguish between how God is moving versus what the devil or what the enemy is doing. And can I just tell you, he's crafty. Amen. He's crafty. He will not come at you dressed in a red suit. Amen. He won't. He won't come at you with a t-shirt on. He ain't like Superman. He ain't going to announce himself. You know, Superman go around, he got this big S. Want everybody to know. Superman. That ain't the devil. The devil don't come with a big D on his chest. Red suit and horn. You know the picture. He don't do that. Ask Eve. Eve said, if I had been looking for that joker that way, I wouldn't have been tripped up. But no, he slipped in on her like a serpent. And then started having the conversation. So apparently he got a smooth rap. Because he's cunning. Right? He comes in, he's not all up in your face talking stuff you don't want to hear. He's all up in your face feeding stuff that you've already been toying with. Comes in and he starts to whisper, and he takes a little bit of God's truth, or let me just go ahead, he'll take a lot of God's truth and put just a little bit of a twist, a lie into it, and make you fall for it. Heard the expression, a little yeast goes a long way. That's what he does. He comes in and he laces God's truth with a little yeast, with a lie. You fall for that lie, then he's at a place where he says he's got you. But thanks be to God. I don't want you to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Can I tell you why you don't have to be afraid? First of all, you have the Word of God. The Word of God has given you God's plan for your life. You know how it starts off? It says that God loves you so much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, so that you could have life, so that you wouldn't perish. So it starts off telling you God loves you enough that he's not going to let you be run over, used up, or perish. Amen? And so it starts off with the truth. God loves you. And so if ever there's a whisper in your ear that says that God does not love you, that ain't God talking. That ain't the Spirit of God talking to you. That's the devil trying to tell you that God don't love you. And here's how it happened. God doesn't love you because of what you did. Right? That's what he does. He tries to play it down. God doesn't love you because of what you did. God is ashamed of you because of what you did. God is disowning you because of what you did. That's why Romans chapter 8 reminds us that there is no condemnation against those who are in Christ Jesus. Listen, when you believe that God loved you so much that he sent his only begotten son, and you believe that Jesus died for your sins that you might have life, and when you believe that the grave could not hold him, but that God raised him up from the dead, and when you believe that he's been elevated to heaven with all power, all authority in his hand, when you believe that, there is no condemnation against you, because everything that you've ever done that's been against the hand of God, against the mind of God, against the will of God, has been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I need you to go ahead and open your mouth and say, I'm covered by the blood. Oh, if you're on the phone, you better say, I'm covered by the blood. I'm covered by the blood. I'm not just covered by any blood, but I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so when the enemy starts whispering in your ear, that's your response to the enemy. There's no condemnation against me. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm giving you the tools to fight with, okay? There is no condemnation against me. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And even if God is disappointed in me, what God is going to do is make a way for me to make him happy again. Don't you know that God is the God of the second chance? And the third chance and the fourth chance. That's why he leads me in paths of righteousness. Amen. That's why he keeps saying, uh-oh, you missed that turn. Let me bring you back around. Uh-oh, you, Can you not see where I'm trying to point you? That's okay. I'm going to keep leading you in paths of righteousness. Why? Because it is his desire that we fulfill his mission, his purpose for which he has designed us and called us for. And it doesn't matter what type of detour that the enemy causes us to go on. God says that there is no road that you found yourself on that I cannot direct you back to me. Don't you know that I'm the God who makes a way out of no way? Yeah, yeah. He'll make highways in the desert. Amen. He'll open up paths even when you're between a rock and a Red Sea. Amen. He'll open up a way for you because he wants you to get back to him or be on the destination, on the path that he has called you to be on. And one of the key weapons that you have to fight against the enemy of your soul is to speak the truth of what God has declared. There is power in God's word. There's power in God's word. There is no weapon that you're going to find that is more powerful than the word of God. Acted on by the Spirit of God. Believed on in faith. It is powerful. Amen? Watch this. God said what? Let there be light. That's the word of God. And then what happened? Stop. Y'all better stop. Y'all better stop. All of creation, all that we see, when you look into the heavens, when you look at the cosmos, when you see the sun, the stars, and the moon, all of that was by the voice, by the word of God. If God's word can do all of that, he never ever loses his power. I'm trying to tell you, one of the most powerful weapons that you have is the word of God. Jesus modeled this for us when he had come and he was getting ready to begin his earthly mission. He was sent out into the wilderness, out into the desert for 40 days to fast. That means that he was not going to have anything to eat nor anything to drink. You know that you're not eating or drinking. The same thing we talked about earlier about rest. Your body becomes weary. That he would be at a place of where he was tired and he was weary. The Bible says that the devil, realizing that Jesus had gone out into the wilderness, he was fasting, not eating nor drinking. He came and he tried to tempt him. And so when the devil came and he tried to tempt him, he did it in the same way that he messes with us. He tries to give us those things that we desire, those things that are intended for us, those things that God means for us to have. He comes and he tries to tempt us to get them in a way that is not authorized by God. He did the same thing when he came and he tried to confront Jesus. But watch what Jesus does. Each time the devil comes to mess with him, Jesus being fully God, Jesus being the one who came from heaven, Jesus being the one who created all of this, when he began to confront and fight the devil, what did he use? The word of God. Because it's powerful. You and I, when we are fighting, what do we need to use? The word of God. Amen. Amen. That's why you need to be on a steady diet. I know I always say it. I'm going to keep saying it. You need to be on a steady diet, on a regimen of where you're reading this word. Amen. You need to be on a steady diet, on a regimen where this word is reading you. Amen. That means that you're reading the word and then you are allowing the word to read you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Remember, it says that it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the mind. So what the word of God does is when you're reading it, it's reading you. Amen. You've got to allow the word of God to read you because it helps you to sort through those thoughts and those attitudes that are not becoming of God so that he can fix you so that you think the right way, talk the right way, and do the right things. You've got to know the word of God. So you put yourself on a steady diet. You put yourself on a regimen of where you're going to eat this word. You put yourself in a place of where you're reading it on a regular basis. And I always love to encourage folks, memorize it. Add it to your data bank. In the same way that you can spit out songs, you ought to have the lyrics of God's word humming in your heart. Amen. Amen. You ought to have it humming in your heart. And there are some scriptures that, you know what, we just kind of gravitate. Watch this here. The Lord is my, Go ahead. Somebody finished that. They said, I shall not want. I shall not be in want, right? He leads men. Uh-oh. He restores what? My soul. Yeah. Even though I walk through the valley of the, I will fear no. See, that's called hiding the word in your heart so that you won't sin against God, but so that you're also equipped to fight against the enemy. Amen. So one of the weapons that you have to fight against the enemy is the word of God. But remember, just as God spoke, let there be light, you've got to speak. Amen. You got to open up your mouth and speak. Amen. When the enemy comes into your space, messing with your stuff, messing with you, open up your mouth and speak. Speak the word of God. Authorize it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know that he says that when you pray, that your prayer must be in the name of Jesus. Because the only way to get to the Father is how? Through Jesus. John 14 and 6 says that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And so you pray your prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. It is your entryway. It is your badge. It is that thing that gets you access to the Father. It's your password. It's your code. It's the one that you identify is Jesus. I come in the name of Jesus. I like to start my prayers off, Father, in the name of Jesus. I don't want to wait till I get to the end. You know, some folks get to the end and then they'll tack on like this. Oh, I need to make sure I add this in the name of Jesus. No, no, no. Let me go ahead and start off. Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, I got your attention early on. So now everything else, right? I know is on solid footing. And so you enter that. You bring that weapon in the name of Jesus. That's what you're fighting with. So you have the word of God. You're standing on the word of God as you press against your enemy. Over the past week, we've had folks in their bodies, they've been attacked with different ailments, different illnesses, different things that are going on in their bodies, their physical health, attacking their physical health. While we know that there are conditions that exist where folks are going to be sick, we live in this world. In this world, there is sickness that is going to come up against us. This has been an unusual attack against the bodies of different believers within this ministry. And one of the things that you and I have to do is to be able to recognize that, wait a minute, something is going on. It's not by coincidence that this individual is experiencing sickness. It's not by coincidence that this individual is experiencing this illness. It's not by coincidence that this is happening. Wait a minute, something is going on. It's a concerted attack by the enemy to disrupt what God is doing. Amen. And so then we got to fall back into that posture of prayer. So I'll tell you, on Wednesday night, we were slated to actually study Revelation chapter 8. But if you know anything about Revelation chapter 8, the first few verses talk about prayer. And so while I'm studying and preparing and reading about that, thinking about what's going on, the Spirit of the Lord said, no, you can put that on hold. You need to enter into prayer, because there were some people that were dealing with some issues that we needed to bombard heaven with, and understand that there is no greater weapon than we have than praying the word of God to God in the face of the enemy. So that's what we did. Amen. We just kind of entered into prayer and into dialogue with the realization that there is something going on. We can't see everything that is going on, but there is something that's going on that needs us to change our posture before the Lord. And so that's what we did. What we are doing, because we are fighting. And I gave you a little bit of the revelation of what's going on early when I told you that you are so close to a breakthrough that the enemy is saying, we can't do this. Why? Because New Joy Fellowship is a church, a fellowship of believers, where God has said this will be a place where men and women can come and experience healing, wholeness, and growth. There will be some who will come, and they will be stationed to be workers within this ministry. There will be some who will come, and they will receive their healing. They will receive what they need to be made whole. And then they're going to be reassigned, shipped out to go on their assignments. That's okay. He says, but you need to understand that your role in your mission is to be a place where men and women can experience healing, wholeness, and growth. And there are some folks who have been experiencing some healing, some wholeness, and some growth in their lives. And the enemy is saying, wait a minute. He's starting to attack in various ways. And your job and my job is to step back and assess what's going on. I'm telling you, there's some stuff going on that would blow your mind if you knew the details of it. You'd be like, what? God is saying, I've given you the ability to see and to understand the strategies of the enemy. Your job becomes to fight right. Amen? Let me help you. You and I regularly see men and women who will decide that they have fallen in love with each other. Amen. They'll get to that place of where I just can't live without you. You was made for me. When God made you, he had me in mind. You know, all that stuff. And then they'll stand up in front of a preacher, stand up in front of a congregation, and they will look one another in the eyes. And they will talk about in sickness and in health. Whether we got a fat bank account or we dead broke. I'm yours until death separates us. They'll stand there, right? They'll make that proclamation. Now, you and I both know that marriage is sanctioned by God. Amen? Amen. We know that marriage is honorable before God. It is God's desire. He said that he created the two, man and woman. He created the two, right, to be united so that they could be fruitful and multiply and send his image throughout the earth. It was something that was sanctioned by God. Amen? And in that moment, they are exchanging those beautiful vows, those expressions of how much they love one another. But remember, the enemy's goal is to disrupt whatever it is that God is doing, right? So if your marriage is thriving, the enemy does not like it when your marriage is thriving. Amen? If you're growing, the enemy does not like it when you are growing. So what he will do is bring in some confusion. Right? Because in marriage, the objective is what? The two become one. Amen? If you're growing closer and closer and closer to one another, where you start to view things and exercise and practice things from the same perspective, the enemy is saying, wait a minute, you're getting too close. And so he'll come in and bring some disruption, some distrust, some confusion. Right? And what is his goal? His goal is to push you apart. Amen. In fact, here's the truth. You don't have to get a divorce. Here's the truth. You don't have to get a divorce for the enemy to win. If he can keep you operating in your singleness while you're supposed to be married, oh, he done won. Amen. Amen. Because the goal is for the two of you to become one. That's the goal. And if he can keep you separated, he don't care if you decide to live in the same house. We're in the same house, but you ain't got nothing to say to me. And everything I say to you is mean and foul and, ooh, I hate to see you coming. He cool. He didn't disturb the peace of your home and you can't do nothing productive because if that represents what God wants, I don't want none of it. Right? Because what it is that you're supposed to be doing this thing in such a way that it brings glory and honor to God. And so the enemy then will come in and disturb that with the idea of separating you. Here's the key. You've got to recognize in your marriage, recognize the tricks of the enemy. Recognize the strategy of the enemy. Here's what Ephesians chapter 6 reminds us, that you and I don't wrestle against flesh and blood. right? There are some times when there's some stuff going on that it has nothing to do with the other individual. They just happen to be used by the enemy, or I may be the one that's being used by the enemy. The thing for you and us, for you and me to recognize is that, wait a minute, it is not the issue of flesh and blood, it's what else is going on around here. And so your ability is to be able to recognize that, wait a minute, there is some confusion that is eased into this relationship that needs to be resolved. Remember what we said earlier? Call things out as you see them. Don't sweep them under the rug. Don't ignore them. Because if you sweep them under the rug and ignore them, they're not going anywhere. They are under the rug eating the crumbs. And they get bigger and bigger and bigger. And when the rug finally comes off, the mess is so big that now you can't address it. No, when he allows you to see it, go ahead and speak to what you see so that it can be addressed and stop right there. Amen? You got to recognize the strategies of the enemy so that you can then turn around and fight the right way. What's fighting the right way when conflict comes into the marriage? First of all, you start to work to resolve it. You identify what the issue is, right? Each individual decides to take responsibility for their own behavior and not pointing the finger at the other person. They decide that the other person is more important than they are so that they lay down their will and they're able to get to a place of resolution. Amen. They start to say that I've come here to make you better and you've come to make me better. So whatever this thing is, we can work this thing out, right? Now, that's the first part. The second part is this. We start to declare what the word of God said. What God has put together, let no man destroy or set apart, right? And so God has designed it so that we're going to win. We're going to be in victory. And we start speaking the truth into one another's lives. And what happens is when you start to do that, the enemy loses his power over you and over your situation so that you start to grow up in him and become one. Amen. Is that making sense? It's the same thing with your health. Can I speak to that too? Am I out of time? Okay. Can I have a few more minutes? She said almost. You know what she said? She said you out. She didn't say it. She didn't say that. Listen. We always quote that scripture in Isaiah. By his stripes, we have been healed. That is a declaration that says that we acknowledge that our healing comes from God. And that Jesus Christ, when he suffered, paid the cost so that we are no longer under the curse as it would be of the law. And so it says that when sickness comes against your body, you have a healer in Jesus Christ, who is already taking care of everything that you need to be made whole. And so we quote that scripture in Isaiah that says, by his stripes, I am healed. It's not just a scripture that you quote it and you believe it. Now, you and I both know that sometimes we quote that scripture and your symptoms are still hanging around, right? You don't deny your symptoms. Amen. You don't go around saying, I don't feel what I'm feeling. Wait a minute. If you're doing that, something wrong. You go ahead and don't worry. Some folk, I've heard it said this way. I ain't gonna say that because the devil might hear it. You don't think he see you walking around like this? Oh, you think he blind and don't see you all broke down? Going through your medicine cabinet looking for stuff. And so you ain't gonna say it. I'm not gonna put that in the atmosphere. Okay. I hear what that camp is saying, but I want you to be in this camp. Go ahead and identify. Yep, my hip is hurting. Okay? But my hip still has to bow to the name of Jesus. And sometimes Jesus will send me to see my primary care physician. Okay, you ain't got to go. Some of y'all walk by faith. Amen. And when he says walk by faith, that's what you do. If he doesn't tell me to go anywhere, I ain't going. I'm going to tell you, I wrestle back and forth. There are some things that will hit my body that I'm claiming God's healing upon my body, and I'm never seeing a physician about them because God has not said, go see your physician. There are some things that hit my body where I'm calling and saying, you need to get me in right now. Amen. Okay. He said, I get in too. You know, flu season is fastly approaching, right? If you get flu symptoms, by the time you get flu symptoms, it's time for you to go ahead and say, hey, I got this going on, fever, chills. Can you go in and call that, you know, that little pack that y'all call in, that if I do it in the first 3 days, that you know what, I'll be all right. Listen, that's okay. That's okay. Why? Because actually, the medications that God has provided, the medications that are available, part of that is God's provision to us. It's part of his grace. And it is your job to avail yourself of what God has made available to you. That's why you've got to be in regular communion with God so that you hear clearly what he is instructing you to do. Amen? It is not this we try to put stuff in this one box, and if you don't do it this way, then you're not operating by faith. That's nonsense. You cannot put God in a box. God moves at different ways, at different times, with different people, and he meets you and me right where we are. Your job is to learn how to listen to the Spirit of God and be obedient to what the Spirit of God has said. And yet, when I go see my primary care physician, when I go to the ER, when I go to urgent care, I understand that they are nothing more than vehicles, that they are nothing more than instruments, that they are nothing more than vessels that God will use to aid in my healing, because ultimately, my healing comes from the Lord. Amen? When they give me medications, they're doing nothing but numbing the pain. In some cases where they kill infections, my healing still comes from the Lord, because if my immune system is not strong enough to interact with and deal with what that medication is doing, I'm just taking medicine. But God will take and he will strengthen my body so that I become an overcomer and cleanse my body of all matter that does not pertain to life. But what I'm fighting with is the Word of God, the wisdom that God gives, and walking in obedience to his command. That's how you fight the enemy. You got to have a regiment where you're feeding yourself on God's word. And then you got to have also a practice of regularly talking to God. Amen. The other way we describe that is what? Prayer. Right? It's the other way we talk about it. It has to be a practice. So you have a regiment and a practice. The Word of God says that you and all have a posture of where we pray without ceasing. That we lift up everything before the Lord. Doesn't mean that I'm always on my knees kneeling, but I'm always praying and talking to God. Amen? Because I'm seeking to hear from him. Prayer is what? Prayer is me talking to God, letting God know what's on my heart, what's on my mind, making my request known to him. But prayer is also me receiving from God. I've got to be still long enough to hear what God has to say. Still means quiet. So even when I'm not talking, when I'm not moving my lips, I'm quiet and I'm listening. That when I finish praying, I don't need to turn the TV on. Excuse me. When I finish talking. I don't need to turn the TV on. I don't need to turn the radio on. I don't need noise. I need to stay in a posture of where I can hear what God has to say, because God will instruct. He will direct. He will guide. And in that, he gives us what we need to stand against the enemy. The scripture that we read said the weapons that we fight with are not carnal. They're not of this world. What that simply says is that we don't fight this battle against the enemy in the same way that we see one another, people fighting one another. That if our battle is not against flesh and blood, you can't expect flesh and blood weapons to be useful against your enemy. And instead, you've got to take spiritual weapons and fight against your spiritual enemy so that you can then be victorious. So what you do is you take God's word, which is spiritual, you take prayer, which is spiritual, and you use them in your battle, and you act upon what God has instructed you to do in the process so that you gain victory. You stand in the face of the attack, and you press into what God has told you to do. When you go back and you read 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you'll see that God gave some very specific instructions to Jehoshaphat and to those who were gathered. He said, don't worry, this battle is not yours, it is the Lord's. But here's what you need to do. I'm still going to send you out. But when you go out, I want you to go out, and what I want you to do is have praise upon your lips. I want you to go out elevating the name of Jesus Christ, exalting the name of God. When you go out, I want you lifting up who God is and celebrating his greatness. And so what you and I have to learn how to do is exalt the name of God above every situation. Exalt the name of God above every condition. Exalt the name of God above every feeling. Exalt the name of God to the place where he belongs so that all other things bow down unto him. And when you go out praising him, that's what praise is. Praise is exalting the name of God, celebrating who God is, celebrating what God has done, acknowledging that he is the great God, acknowledging that he is the one who is unstoppable, acknowledging that he knows how to gain victory. You acknowledge that there is no weapon that has been set up against your God that can be victorious, because what? You're praising him and you're declaring that he is the great God. He's Lord of lords and King of kings. How dare you raise your voice to my God? And he says, when you begin to praise him and exalt him in your situation, he showed that folk, those folks, that he's going to go out and fight on their behalf. They never had to lift a hand in this battle, because when they began to praise, it says that God sent out an ambush and took out the enemy. And so before they could ever get there and engage in battle, God had already took care of the issue. And then they were able to collect on the loot. Amen. Why? Because they used the weapon that God had given them. You got to fight with the right weapon. Now, the enemy is attacking. Amen? I'm telling you, you've been warned. Some of the stuff that's going on in your lives is the attack of the enemy. It is. You've been wondering what's going on? I just told you. Now, Ephesians chapter 6 says this, put on the full armor of God. Whatever you do, don't go to battle without being dressed appropriately. Amen? Put on the full armor of God. I want to go here and read this for you, and we're going to close right here, okay? Is that my helper back there? Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Again, it's another familiar scripture. It speaks of our armor. Verse 13, it says, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to take to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm. Then he starts talking about the armor, the belt of truth. You need to have the belt of truth buckled around your waist. You need to have a breastplate of righteousness. You need to have your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, or the shoes of peace. You need to have a shield of faith. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Because that word is living and active, and it cuts. Paul describes what your armor is. You have protected pieces of armor. Then you have this sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which is what you use to fight with. Make sure that you're dressed appropriately. The helmet of salvation. What? It protects your mind, your thinking. Amen. Breastplate of righteousness. It protects your heart. What you're feeling. Oh, I'm gonna have to come back and deal with this because you know, your feelings get in the way. Amen. And the enemy then will use your feelings because you've allowed your feelings to get in the way. You feel a certain way, and then all of a sudden you start making decisions on your feelings, and your feelings were wrong. Or your feelings were prompting you to do something different, but because you got stuck in them. So the breastplate of righteousness protects your heart, your feeling. The helmet of salvation is protecting your mind, your thinking. These are weapons that you put on. And there are spiritual things that you put on that help protect you in the middle of the fight, in the middle of the battle, because your enemy is coming at you with weapons that you can't see. And when you put on the armor that God has given you in the spiritual realm, that means that even though your enemy comes at you, he is not successful because you are dressed appropriately. He may hit a blow. But did you see what it said? You've got the shield of faith so that you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the enemy. He won't let go. He'll keep coming at you, but you've got to fight the right way. Can I just tell you again, and I'm going to close. God loves you. It is his desire that you represent him well in this life. For he has created you and given you works to do. Each one of us, he has called us with works to do that represent him in this life. He's given us gifts. He's given us talents. And what he's saying is, I expect you to finish the work that I've assigned to your hands to do. And so God is on your side, even when it don't feel like it. God is working on your behalf, even when you can't see it. Why? Because he desires that you experience a full and complete life that brings glory and honor to him. What he wants to make sure that you do is that you don't allow the attacks of the enemy to overtake you and push you off course. So he says, make sure that you use the right weapons as you fight this battle. And when you sense and recognize that the enemy has amped up his attack, then you change and you move appropriately. Don't you be letting the enemy fight hard and you just kind of back like this. Oh, step up, knowing that God has your back and he won't let you fall. Amen. We proclaimed earlier that we were covered by the blood. Amen. Now, you're only covered by the blood if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're covered by the blood if you acknowledge that he hung, bled, and died for you. You allow your sins to be covered by his finished work, covered by the blood. As we prepare to partake of this cup, eat this bread and drink this juice, it is a reminder to you and me of the covenant relationship that we are in. Covenant relationship whereby God says that he will never leave us nor forsake us, whereby he says he will be with us until the bitter end. We eat this being reminded that it was Jesus' body that was given that we might have life. It was his blood that was shed so that our sins would be forgiven, so that we could be covered by the blood. And when we do so, we are reminded of the truth of Revelation chapter 12. It said that we overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Amen. Deacon Drain is going to pray for the elements, for the bread and the juice, and then together we will eat the bread and drink the juice. Deacon Drain.
Heavenly Father, thank you, O Lord God, for letting us be here today to break bread with you, Heavenly Father, to drink this juice. This bread represents your body, Heavenly Father, that you sacrificed on the cross for us, Heavenly Father. You sacrificed your body for our sins and our pains, Heavenly Father. So we want to say thank you for that, O Lord God. Heavenly Father, this juice sacrificed your blood. Shows that blood that you sacrificed on the cross for us. Mm-hmm. You shed your blood to cover us. Yeah. You shed your blood because you loved us. And I will say, although I'm not worthy, I want to say thank you for what you've done, Heavenly Father. Thank you for allowing me to be here today to do this communion with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, will you eat the bread and drink the juice? All of it. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that covers us and washes away all of our sins and makes us like new. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit who fills us, gives us, God, your thoughts and your mind, who helps us to know your will that we may walk in it. We thank you, God, for your covering over us and your protection of us. We thank you that there is no weapon that has been formed by the enemy that will be able to prosper or be successful. Therefore, Father, we bring every issue, every concern that we might have, and we lay it, God, at the feet of the cross, acknowledging that the finished work of Jesus Christ was enough. That God, when he was declared victorious and declared that all power and authority was given into him, that he is our victor, that he is our king. Therefore, we come and we renew our trust. We renew our confidence. We renew our faith, God, in your purpose and in your plan. And we declare, God, that whatever it is that we are going through, when we make it to the other side, we're going to be better. God, we declare that, God, when we make it to the other side, we will praise you and we will honor you and we will glorify your magnificent name. When we make it to the other side, God, we will indeed, Father, go back and grab others and show them that, God, you brought us through, and therefore we know that, God, you will bring them through too. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, and we declare victory right now over every situation. Right now, over every issue and condition, right now, God, we acknowledge that, God, you lead us by Jesus Christ into triumphant procession, into victory, because he is King. In his name, we pray. Amen.